Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf chavav. We should be starting today the third parak of Yevamos. So it's not going to happen today. But as far as we can get into the second parak, and if we're good, we'll finish the second parak. But no promises. We are on chav dalamud beis, and we are towards the bottom of the amud. Actually, the middle of the amud. We're starting now at the two dafs and nitan al eishasish. Thank the Lupin Foundation for the sponsorship of the Daf Daf. The learning was Yechon Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Take a look back at the Mishnah on Chavdala Amud Beis Hanitan Al Hashechov Nishtachra. The Mishnah gets involved in cases having nothing to do with the Yevamos, but the common denominator between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah is scenarios in which two people should not get married, and what would be the result if they do get married. Are the Beis Din going to step in? Are Beis Din going to terminate the force a get? And that's the common denominator between these cases and the upcoming cases. The Mishnah described a scenario in which a person was alleged to have relations with either a woman who was not Jewish or she was a Shivcha. And in both cases, she becomes now a full-fledged Jew. So the Mishnah says they shouldn't get married. However, if marriage occurs, so then we're not going to terminate a relationship based on that. Hanita alishas ish, and then the Mishnah goes on to another case where a man is purported to have relations with a married woman, vehotzi uha, which at its simplest level means that Beis Din then stepped in, and Beis Din forced the divorce. So meitachas yadov, apishakanas yotzei. So there, if the adulterer or the paramour, if he then marries a woman, so not only is that not condoned, not only is that condemned marriage, but at the same time, Beis Din also is going to step in there, and Beis Din will force to get in that scenario as well. So Hanita Neshesh. Now Amar Rav Uveedim. Okay, I know we did this yesterday, but this is the beginning of a discussion. And let's start fresh. So Rav says that we're describing witnesses. Witnesses actually saw the act of adultery. So in other words, we're not guessing, we're not suspecting. We know a witness came forward and testified. So Amar Sheshes Haminiki Nine V'Shachar Rav Amar La'ish Maitza. So Rav Sheshes says it's hard to imagine. I'm giving a loose translation over here. It's hard to imagine that my Rebbe Rav actually said something like that. Right, literally translated, he was taking a nap when he said something like that. Meaning, it's hard to imagine that came out of his mouth. The Tanya, and the reason why it's so hard to imagine is because look at the following brisa. Hanita Nalishas Ishva Utsiyo Ayidei Ayado. Man is purported to have relations with a married woman, and as a result of these allegations, Beis Din terminated the marriage. And then what happens is that she married another man, not the paramour, but she married another guy, and then she returned back, then after she got a divorce from him, and then in kanas lo yotzi, and then the paramour was the one who then married her. So we have we already have a drama. I told you, I mentioned before recording that today's going to be a lot of drama. Okay, so obviously over here we have a drama. So now, lo yotzi, so the Mishnah says we don't terminate this marriage. Now, hei chidami. So the Gemara says, now, let's go over what exactly happened at the time when there was rumors and allegations about the adulterer and this woman. Now, if there were witnesses who testified and said that adultery actually occurred, so then what difference does it make what kind of drama we're talking about? She ended up marrying another guy, she divorced the other guy, now she wants to go back to this paramour, so what? Witnesses came and testified that she committed adultery with this man. We know the halacha is that when a woman commits adultery and it's known, she becomes prohibited to her husband, and she becomes permanently prohibited to the paramour. So clearly this case can't be talking about where there are witnesses. I love the like Adam. So clearly the case is talking about where there are no witnesses. And the time of Dasa Achav Avsik Alakala. And over here, why is it that in the event that she ends up marrying the paramour, it's not condoned, but it's acceptable, meaning we're not going to terminate the relationship, that's only because in the interim she married another guy. Halav Hachim Avkinan. Which means then that if she went directly from her husband after the divorce and went straight to the paramour, not only will the marriage be, not only will we shake our head at the marriage, but if they do get married, Beis Din's going to come in and Beis Din's going to terminate the marriage. So that means then that if she marries the paramour, even if there aren't witnesses, even if it's just rumors, nevertheless, the marriage will be terminated by Beis Din. So again, Rav Sheshes is bothered by Rav because Rav says, our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where there are witnesses. Rosh Hashanah says, no, it's not true. Even if there are no witnesses, even if it was just rumors and allegations, and then after divorcing her husband, she goes to that man who was alleged to have relations with her, committed adultery with her, so then Basin's not only going to shake its head at that marriage, but Basin's going to terminate that marriage. So Rav says, no, look, could be that the halacha would be true even if there wasn't another man, even if she didn't marry another guy, even if she went straight from her husband to this man who rumors were floating around that she had adultery with him. Even if all that's true, still the marriage will not be terminated by Beis Din. And again, if there are witnesses, marriage will get terminated. And if there are no witnesses, marriage will not get terminated. So then, and the point is, explains Rav, or Gemara explaining in defense of Rav, and the point is that because the original marriage was terminated because of this particular man, so we're always going to condemn the marriage between this woman and this man, even if she goes and marries another man. That doesn't matter. Meaning, this relationship between this woman and her paramour and her alleged paramour is always going to be frowned upon, even if there is more history in the middle. Doesn't matter. Meisvei, the Gemara once again challenges the Rebbe's, Rav's understanding of our Mishnah. The Braisa says, all this is true when there are no sons. But if there are sons, so then we're not going to terminate the marriage. Again, what happened is as follows. Let's go over the timeline. She was married. She has children with this original husband. And then rumors and allegations spread about her having an adulterous affair with this particular man. With another, obviously another man. So then she gets a divorce from her husband. So, again, the adulterer should not marry this woman. This woman should not marry the adulterer. But if they do, we're not going to, or the basin's not going to step in and terminate the marriage. And why? For the sake of the children. And this is, I mean, we could speak emotionally, we could speak psychologically, but we'll speak halachically. The reason why is because if we, basin, sever that relationship, it'll be clear that all those rumors were true. Now, if those rumors are true, what does that mean? That means then that those children may have been the result of an adulterous relationship, which means that those children are mamzerim. So Beis Din will not do something which it doesn't have to do if that means that children are getting it labeled mamzerim. So that's the braisa. Now, if there are witnesses who actually saw the act of adultery, so then we're going to terminate the marriage. Beis Din will force a get between the woman and her paramour. So again, now this is difficult for Rav, because Rav says that the only time Beis Din will force a get between a woman and her paramour is only if there are witnesses. This Brisa says no, that's not true. Beis Din will terminate the marriage between a woman and her paramour even if there are no witnesses. And the only mitigating circumstance will be if there are children who we don't want to be labeled mamzerim. But outside of that, the Beis Din is going to terminate the marriage even though it's only based on rumors and allegations. So Rav will tell you as follows. Yeah, you know what? Agreed. Our Mishnah is talking about where there are children and there are witnesses. Okay. So my duchid Rav look me la masins beyesh la banim beyesh la edim. The time dike edim afkinam veyileke edim la mafkinam. So the Gemara says, okay, Rav put a lot into the Mishnah. Meaning, according to Rav, what's the Mishnah describing? Where there are witnesses and there are children. And the Mishnah says that's why Beis Din is going to have to terminate the marriage because they're witnesses. But if there are no witnesses, so then Beis Din will not terminate the marriage. But that's saying a lot in the Mishnah. Why did Rav do that in our Mishnah? Mark explains. I'm sorry. Look, Rabbi Shein Labanim, Afagav Deleke Edim. Why not just simply say where there's no children and there are no witnesses? Amar Rav Masitz Kashi say. So Rav says in explanation of Rav, look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah is pretty clear that what? That Beis Din got involved. Because look at the Mishnah, look at the grammar of the Mishnah. Hotzi uha, they took her away from her paramour. Who's a they? Clearly, just the wording of the Mishnah indicates that Beis Din got involved. So the Mishnah is clearly talking about Beis Din. So, now when is Beis Din going to get involved? Only if there are witnesses. Because again, based and will not terminate a marriage based on rumors and allegations. Again, this is all Rav's explanation. Based and will terminate marriage based on rumors and allegations. Now again, based and will try to prevent the marriage from occurring to begin with. They will shake their head. They will shake a fist at the idea that this woman is now going to marry the paramour. But if it's just rumors and allegations and they do get married, so then Beis Din will not terminate the marriage. So therefore, when our Mishnah says Hotzi Uha, which means it's a description of Beis Din doing it, so Rav says that's why the Mishnah has to be describing a scenario in which witnesses actually saw. And even though there are children from the original marriage, and even though now the children will get this label of being a mamzer, okay, but that's unfortunate, but witnesses actually saw the act of adultery. Beis Din had no choice. The Baisema, okay, so that's all approach number one. Okay, so again, Rav's position is that if there are no witnesses and it's just rumors and allegations, and she ends up divorcing her husband and marrying the paramour, so then Beis Din will not step in and Beis Din will not terminate the marriage. The only time Beis Din will do so, says Rav, is only if there are witnesses who actually saw the act of adultery. Okay, approach number one. Ibaisema Nemasis and Rebihi. Or the Gemara says another approach. And that is all these braces that we just quoted does not go in line with our Mishnah. But rather, it's the opinion of Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Yes, I know it's odd that we have a Mishnah who's edited by Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, which the Gemara now is suggesting actually doesn't hold like Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, but we've seen this a number of times. I mean, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi is not the author of the Mishnah, he's the editor of the Mishnah. So yes, there are a number of Mishnayos that don't necessarily subscribe to his viewpoint. So the Gemara says, these braces that we just quoted are going in line with Rebbe, and our Mishnah does not necessarily agree with that. The Tanya and the Gemara says, and how do I know? How do I know that Rebbe is ready to have Beis Din terminate a marriage just based on rumors and allegations? So the Bryce over here describes a couple of scenarios, and the Bryce over here will be a little indelicate. It's going to be a slightly graphic. Rochel Yosef Isha Cholgeres Besinar. So one picture the Brisa paints for us is that a man's leaving the woman's house, obviously not her husband, and he's a rochel, he's a spice peddler, and as he's leaving the house, so she's belting herself back up. Okay, so that's not witnesses that actually saw an act of adultery. It's circumstantial evidence, but it's pretty strong circumstantial evidence. So Amar Rebbe Hol Mechur, Adav Rebbe says that's disgusting. So Teitzei. So therefore, Beis Din will force a divorce. Meaning, in the event that she divorces her husband and she ends up remarrying this man, Beis Din will force a divorce. Rok lamala min akila. If let's say after the man exits the house again, another man, not her husband, and saliva is found on the bed, probably produced by the man, probably produced in the act of relations, and again, it's circumstantial, but it's pretty strong circumstantial evidence. I'm Rebbe Hol Mechura Dover Teitzei. So Rebbe says, once again, the basin's going to come in and basin's going to force a divorce. Menalam hafuchim tachas amita, if there are shoes that are turned upside down underneath the bed. So at this juncture, we're going to assume, although it's a strange assumption, but we're going to assume the shoes are still there, which the Gemara in a moment is going to wonder, well, if the shoes are still there, so then kind of not like Cinderella, but let's find out who the owner of the shoes are. So again, strong circumstantial evidence that there was another man in the room, and so it's mechuar, it's disgusting, and teitzei, and therefore once again a divorce is going to be forced. So again, so what do you see from all these cases? That it's not, we don't have edim, we don't have edus, it's not real testimony, it's circumstantial. But Rebbe says okay, but still, that provided fodder for rumors and allegations, and therefore a divorce will be forced by Beis Din. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is, Rav will say, look, our Mishnah holds that you will not terminate a marriage based on rumors and allegations. That's our Mishnah. What about all the braces you just quoted? The Gemara says all the braces you just quoted are in accordance with Rebbe and not our Mishnah. So the Gemara now, we quoted in the Bryce, one Chafei Amud Aleph, where two lines down, Menalam hafuchim lichli d'manenu. So the Gemara says, if the shoes are still underneath the bed, why not find out who the owners of the shoes are? So Ela makam menalam hafuchim. So the Gemara says, okay, just to give a clear understanding of the Bryce, it's not that we actually found the shoes under the bed, but there are markings of shoes under the bed, somebody else's shoes under the bed. And I'm going to bypass the Rashi, although I'll just quickly reference it. Rashi over here says, why the shoes turned upside down? What is that? Rashi offers two explanations of what exactly that means, but for the sake of brevity and trying to catch up to where we need to be, suffice to say that it's probably, these shoes were probably owned by someone other than her husband. And Rashi says maybe a quick getaway. Anyway, the point is that the Rebbe clearly is of the opinion that just simply based on rumors and allegations, we Basin will terminate a marriage. Okay, so now basically we have a very basic machlokas between, I guess we can call it Rav versus Rav Sheshis, we could call it Rebbe versus our Mishnah, but I'll just, without assigning names, we have a basic machlokas. If a woman marries her paramour, meaning after having a divorce with her husband, she goes now and she marries the paramour, and if there are witnesses, there's nothing to talk about. If there are witnesses, asolabal, she will be prohibited to both her husband and her paramour, and obviously Basin will intervene. What if it's not? What if there are no witnesses? What if it's just rumors and allegations? So is Basin going to terminate the marriage between her and the men suspected to have an adulterous affair with her? So yes or no? So Rav says Basin will not, and I guess we can call it Rebbe. Rebbe will say no, Basin will. Okay, so now, who does the halacha follow like? Okay, good. Right, Hedy, we're up to your favorite part of the daf. The ilchus of kavasei the rabbi, ilchus of kavasei the rabbi. So the Gemara says, you know, the halacha follows like both. To which the Gemara says, I set us up for that. So to which the Gemara says, kashi ilchus, so well, the Gemara says, well, that's difficult, obviously. Meaning, yes or no. And the Gemara says, yes and no. So the Gemara says, lo kashia. The Gemara says, no. A little more context, and we'll understand that depending on the context, so sometimes we're going to side with Rebbe, and sometimes we're going to side with Rav. Habakal de pasik, habakal de lo pasik. So the Gemara says, look, we're going to gauge how serious these rumors are. If these rumors are not just, I'll speak in modern terms. If they don't, actually, I'm not speaking in modern terms. I'm going to talk about headlines in a newspaper. Okay, that's not modern terms. But if the rumors are circulating for a limited amount of time, but then the rumors come to a halt, that's not a significant rumor. However, if the rumors keep going on, and people are still describing how this woman probably had relations with this man, that's what they heard, and the rumors don't stop. So those are rumors which are very significant, and Basin will then have to intercede and separate the woman and her new husband who was alleged to have an adulterous affair with her. And the Gemara gives more context. If the rumors don't stop, even though there are no witnesses, we're going to side with Rebbe, meaning Basin will terminate the marriage. Now, if the rumors stop with their witnesses, so then we're going to say like Rav. Again, they're witnesses, so Basin had no choice. Basin knows that she had an adulterous affair with this man. Basin will therefore terminate the marriage. The kala de lo pasik ad kama. But if it's a rumor that started but then stopped, so then the halacha is like Rav, which is will not terminate the marriage between her and her alleged paramour. Now, the kala de lo pasik ad kama. Probably the next question in your head, well, how long are we talking about? Meaning, what's the time frame of a rumor that doesn't stop? So, Amar Abai, Amar Le'em. So Abai quotes his mother, Dumi Damasa, Dumi Rashi, gives a couple explanations of what Dumi is, but basically, the low life of the city, Yuma Upalga. In other words, if people are talking about him for a day and a half, my visceral reaction was, that doesn't sound like a long time, but a day and a half of uninterrupted talk about how this man had the relations with this woman. So the Gemara says that's significant rumors. Those fall now under the category of kala de lo pasik, if it went a day and a half straight. So Amar, v'lo amarnelo de lo pasik beni beni, av al pasik beni beni ha pasik. And the Gemara gives even more context. Let's say the rumors paused and then restarted. So the Gemara says that doesn't fall under the category of significant rumors. But law amar nello do pasuk machmas yira, pasuk machmas yira, machmas yira hu. And then the Gemara says, but let's say the paramour is a politically significant individual, and the rumor stopped but out of fear of this particular man. So the Gemara says, that doesn't qualify as rumor stopping. In other words, he actively stopped the rumors because everyone was so afraid of him. And then the Gemara gives another context, which is, let's say this man has enemies. If the man has enemies, so then we pay no attention to the rumors because, and this is very intuitive, if the man has enemies, so probably the enemies were the ones who kept feeding the fuel of the rumors. Okay, period, ad kan. Okay, so, not in conclusion, but at least at this juncture of the Gemara, so the Gemara now has given us some better understanding of when Beis Din will step in and terminate a marriage between a woman and a man who was alleged to have adulterous affair with her in her previous marriage. So if they're witnesses, no question. Clearly, that would terminate the marriage. If there are no witnesses, so then it depends on the severity of the rumors and the allegations. If they are severe, the Gemara's terminology is called the lo pasuk, so then Beis Din will terminate the marriage. If they are not severe rumors, if it's called the pasuk, so then Beis Din will not terminate the marriage, and then the Gemara threw in some details in terms of how we're going to gauge the severity of the rumors. Okay, Tanan Hasam. Okay, a Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah says, Hamotzi Yisisha Mishim Shemra Lo Yachzer Mishim Neder Lo Yachzer. The Mishnah describes two scenarios where a man divorces his wife, and the reason why he divorced her is either Shemra, bad rumors started circulating about her, or Mishim Neder. In other words, she made a Neder, she made a vow, it was very onerous, the husband didn't exercise his right to be made for the Neder, they turned to a Chacham, the Chacham didn't release her from the Neder, and the husband's it's an impossible relationship, and he divorced her. Lo yachzer. In both of those cases, he cannot take her back. Okay. Now, shalach le Rava Bar Huna le Rava Bar Nachi yamlina rabban kanas mahu shiotzi. Okay. Question. The Mishnah in Gittin says that under these two circumstances, he should not take her back. Okay. But what if he does? Again, question. Basically, the same question, slightly different circumstance than what we were describing, but same question. Here's a scenario where Beis Din says he needs to divorce her, and he should not take her back. And if he does, what's the halacha? Amalei Tanina. So he says, well, our Mishnah. Well, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah describes a scenario where a woman purported to have committed adultery with a man. She divorces her husband. She then marries a man. Our Mishnah says, Yotzi. Okay, Beis Din's going to step in, and Beis Din's going to terminate the marriage. So, sounds like it would be the same halacha in our Mishnah as is in the Mishnah of Gittin. Amalei Midam, the Gemara says, they're not the same. One very sharp difference between the two cases. Our Mishnah is talking about Hotziuah, where Beis Din was the one who terminates the marriage, her second marriage. And the Gemara's assumption at this juncture is, Hotziuah, Beis Din did it. Why did Beis Din do it? So we're going to go back to what we suggested earlier. Because there were witnesses who saw the act of adultery. If there were witnesses who saw the act of adultery, so then Beis Din has to step in. The Mishnah in Gittin just simply says, Mishum Shemra. She had a bad reputation. It was a reputation. There was rumors. There was allegations. But we don't know that she committed adultery. So that's distinction number one between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Gittin. Rava Barav Nachman, Masis Nami Hotziatanan. Rava Barav Nachman says, now our Mishnah is also talking about where he divorced her. Now, it wasn't Beis Din, but he divorced her. So therefore, it was merely rumors and allegations. And still, I feel that the two cases are distinctly different. Because let's take a look at what happened. That Mishnah, let me say it like this. Our Mishnah in Yevamos is talking about where the Boel married her, where the paramour married her. So there, that now lends tremendous credence to the idea that she committed adultery with this man. In the Mishnah Gittin, we're not talking about somebody else marrying her. We're talking about now the original husband marrying her. Meaning, reputation, rumors circulated about his wife having an affair. He divorces his wife, and then he, meaning the original husband, wants to take her back. That's very different than having somebody else marry her, and that somebody else is that same person who was alleged to have relations with her. So the Gemara says the Mishnah Gittin and our Mishnah are strikingly different, and you really cannot compare the two. Amalei Shapir Dami, Adadi, Hachamar Rabbanu Lo Yichnas V'im Kanas Yotzi. So the Gemara says, well, I don't really know if you could say the two Mishnayos are different, meaning the wording in the two Mishnayos are essentially the same. The Mishnayos in both times says lo yichnos, they shouldn't get married. So if the Mishnah is saying lo yichnos, they shouldn't get married, wouldn't you assume then that the result should be the same, whatever that result may be? But if the terminology in the Mishnah is the same, so then shouldn't the result be the same? But the Gemara says, no, it's not the same. The Gemara says, again, we're going to go back to that distinction that we just drew. And that is that if she ends up marrying the paramour, so that all that does is just substantiate the rumor. That doesn't squash the rumor. That does just the opposite. So in our Mishnah, Yevamos, where she marries a paramour, so then one can only imagine. There were rumors of this man being the cause of the breakup between her and her original husband, and now she marries this man? So that only fans a flame. So, but the Mishnah in Gittin is talking about where the husband takes her back. One can only imagine that if there were rumors that she had an adulterous affair, and the husband divorced her, now he's ready to take her back, so the Gemara says, Kambe Bekala Valesa. He investigated the rumor. Turns out that the rumors weren't true. Meaning, there's more of an argument to say that the rumors are not based, the rumors are not founded, and evidence to that would be the fact that the husband ended up taking her back. Okay. So, the Gemara thought to compare the Mishnah and Gittin to our Mishnah and Yevamos, but the Gemara notes that they are not the same. Okay. We are in the Mishnah and Chafayam at Aleph. Maybe get Mimidina Sayam. Mishnah here describes a scenario where a man is transporting a get. Okay, the first Mishnah in Gittin and the first seven blot of Gittin describe the halacha in which if a get is being sent delivered from overseas to Eretz Yisrael, so the one delivering the get has to say four magical words, and that is b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtav, u'b'fanei nechtam. It was written in front of me, and it was signed in front of me. Why does the shliach have to say that? So, I send you to the first 5-6 pages of Gittin, where the Gemara there discusses that at length. For the time being, I'll just suffice to say that he's got to say it. Okay. Maybe give him a medina siyam va'amar b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Okay, and he said the magic words. So now he was the deliverer of the get, and he said the magic words of b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Lo yisa es ishto. So now, the Mishnah says, he should not marry this woman. Okay. Now, all he did was deliver a get, but one can only imagine that it's just, it looks strange. The one delivering the get now is ending up marrying her. Okay. Fishy, if you will. Right? Everyone intuitively understands. The Mishnah turns to another scenario. The man comes back from overseas, not her husband, and declares the following about her husband. Mace, your husband died. Haragtiv. I told you a lot of drama in today's daf. Haragtiv, I killed your husband. Harganuhu, we killed your husband. Me and a bunch of other guys. Lo yisas ishto. So he can marry this woman. Now, I understand in case number two and case number three, it's hard to imagine why the woman would be interested. Correct. Understood. I'll tell you. However, what's obvious and interesting, and the Gemara is going to pick up on it, and that is, what did the Mishnah say? He can marry her. Others can, even though she's receiving information about the death of her husband. Who is she receiving it from? A guy who admits that he's the one who committed the act? That can't possibly be testimony. Okay, stay tuned. Stay tuned, we're going to discuss that. Rabbi Huda Omer Harativ lo sinase ishto. Harganuhu tinase ishto. And Rabbi Huda makes a distinction which at face value is really difficult to understand. But Rabbi Huda says that if he says, I killed your husband and I was solely responsible for the death of your husband, so then, lo sinase, so then he cannot marry this woman. But if he says, I was with a group who ended up killing your husband, so then, tinase, then he can marry her. Which right now, at this juncture, it's really difficult to understand why such a distinction would be. Again, please stay tuned. We're gonna see a discussion now in the Gemara. Okay, time of the Mimidina Sayyam Dala Kasamchinan of Abaritisodalavala Kansamchinan Yisas Ishta. Okay, the Gemara starts off with a very simple observation from the Mishnah, and that is as follows. A man is delivering a get from overseas. The get's only gonna be good if he says the magical words of Bafana Nechtum Bafana Nechtum. He's gotta say those words. If he does not say those words, the get is not an effective get. Okay. So therefore, he can't marry her because we're relying on him and on his statement. We need that statement. But that means then, if the get is being delivered intra Eretz Yisrael, from one place of Eretz Yisrael to another, so then the delivery of the get obviously will work. She can now remarry, and she can even remarry the delivery boy. In other words, the Mishnah doesn't say that, but it's a simple diuk in the Mishnah. Fine. The Hameis Talavala Kasamchinan. So the Gemara says, okay, but look at the next case in the Mishnah, where a man comes in, and what does he say about her husband? He's dead. And interesting enough, the Lavala Kasamchinan. Now, truth be told, and we're going to be spending a lot of time in the end of this Masechta discussing this, but she's allowed to remarry, and it's not because of him. Meaning he's the one delivering the news that the husband died, but her now ability to remarry, and she does have the ability to remarry, is not based on his testimony. Now, if you think about it, of course. In order for her to remarry, what would need to happen in terms of testimony? Two men would have to come. And two men would have to say that, we know your husband died. Here we only have one man coming and reporting. Why then is she allowed to remarry? Gemara goes on to explain. Amamari isha daika umin siva. Because she's going to investigate the marriage. She's going to investigate the death of her husband, and based on her own investigation, she will remarry. We're going to discuss this at great length at the end of the Masechta. This is basically the Gemara's discussion of a naguna, meaning that the Chachamim had a number of leniencies to allow a woman to remarry, even though we don't have what would be considered normal, credible evidence that her husband died, but under certain circumstances, the Chachamim relaxed the rules of what qualifies as Edim. And the backbone to this halacha is the fact that we rely heavily on the fact that a woman will not remarry unless she herself does an investigation to find out that her husband actually died. So, assuming all that, so here's what the Gemara is bothered by. When a man comes in and says that your husband died, so she can remarry. And she can remarry anyone but the guy who delivered the news. Even though it's not really the guy that we're relying on. He's not the reason why she can remarry. She's the reason why she can remarry, because the assumption is that she won't remarry unless she investigates the matter. Biktani lo yisas ishto. And so here, the Gemara now is going to ask a penetrating question. I don't understand. In the case where a get was delivered intra Eretz Yisrael, where we don't need him to say anything. All he's doing is delivering a get. And from our Mishnah, it seems pretty clear that he can marry her. And we're not relying on him. Meanwhile, when a guy comes in from overseas and says, your husband died, and he's only one guy, he can't marry the woman, even though the truth of the matter is, we're not relying on him as well. So if we're not relying on him, so just like in the intra-Eretz Yisrael case, where we're not relying on him, and he can marry the woman, so why not the guy who comes in and says, your husband died? So the Gemara says, Hasam like ksava hachi ksava. The Gemara says, yeah, but there's a basic difference. In the case where a man is delivering a get, so you have a document, and the document is there providing enough evidence to say that she's now a divorced woman, meaning she is separated from her husband. You have documentation. All this guy is doing is delivering the document, But really, the real source of her ability now to now remarry is all based on a bona fide document. So that's why she can remarry whoever she wants, even if she wants to marry, remarry. Even if she wants to now marry the delivery boy, that's fine. In the case where a guy is delivering the news that her husband's dead, so yes, it's true that that she's going to do the investigation. And she's going to make sure that her husband's actually dead. But she wouldn't have known all this information without this guy. It's true that the guy's not providing quote-unquote evidence, but he is a significant reason why she's now getting married. She will be able to get married again. So the Gemara notes that the cases are different than one another. Dinan, the Gemara points out, Ma ben get lemisa, shaksav mochiach. The Gemara, this is the Mishnah. We're going to see this Mishnah later on. A get is delivered by somebody who doesn't particularly like you. I know this is going to sound funny, but I'll just throw it out there because the Gemara later on will say it. Let's say your mother-in-law. Okay, I'm not even an attempt at humor. We're going to see this later on. Okay, right. The Gemara notes that there's a. I know it's not nice, but it's true. There's an antagonistic relationship between a son-in-law and a mother-in-law, and so based on that antagonism, so a number of areas in halacha where we just simply, there's a lack of trust that the mother-in-law is always going to be serving in the interest of her son-in-law. Okay, so what if the mother-in-law delivers a get? Good or no good? It's fine. What if the mother-in-law testifies that the husband died and she's the only source of testimony? No good. We're not going to believe her. And the Mishnah later on just asks a very simple question. What's the difference? And again, we're going to state it. The difference is, the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but let's spell it out. The difference is that when she's delivering a get, all the evidence is coming from the document. It's not coming from her. She's just delivering it. So there, she's just delivering. But the real source of severance between husband and wife is all based on the document. But if she's coming and telling her daughter, your husband died, right, that no good son-in-law of mine, because that was an attempt at humor. So there, we're not going to believe her. So, but again, the difference is, a get is actual documentation. And she's just delivering it. Same thing over here. There is a motive. She doesn't like him.
Mother-in-law of the son?
Mother-in-law of her son-in-law. The motive is she doesn't like him. Right. When I say mother-in-law, I mean of her son-in-law.
The woman's mother.
Yes. Mom's coming back from overseas, right? Your husband died. Yeah. Right. Correct. Good. A man comes and testifies, and he says either, one, your husband died. Two, I killed him. Three, we killed him. So in all three of those circumstances, lo yisa ishto. So now the Gemara, here comes the discussion. Now the Gemara makes a simple observation. He can't marry her, but sounds like we're basically trusting him. The Gemara says, V'amar of Yosef, it's very difficult to imagine. Think about what he's saying. He's saying, I killed your husband. And now, okay? So the Gemara says, V'amar of Yosef, Ploni Ravani Lonsi, Huva Achim Etzafan Lahargo. Rav Yosef describes the following scenario. A man testifies that this man sodomized. Okay? And this man sodomized another man. Now, let's make it even more unfortunate. Right? A person testifies, this man sodomized me. Meaning, and I was not a willing participant. So, Rav Yosef says, Hu v'achem etzafan lahargo. He serves as a witness. Now, he was involved. In other words, he's not an objective witness, but it works, and the testimony works, because he's also admitting he was not an active participant. He was sodomized. So, liritzoni, rashahu. But let's say he comes forward to Basin and he says, this man sodomized me. Well, it wasn't really sodomy. I was a willing participant. So Basin will look at him and Basin say, you can't. So Basin will say to him as follows. So Lurzoni Rashahu, so he's admitting to the fact that he was a willing participant in the act of Mishkav Zachor. Vatora Amra, Al Teshes Yadcha Im Rashalios Eid Hamas. He can't serve as a witness. Vechitem Ashani Eidus Isha Dakilabe Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're talking about Eidus Isha. And again, we go back to the point that we made earlier this morning. And that is when it comes to Eidus Isha, her ability to remarry is not based on any quote-unquote testimony that's given to her. The backbone of her allowance to remarry is based on the fact that she's going to do an investigation. The Amar Rav Menashe, but the Gemara says, but we have a statement by Rav Menashe, which is, Gazlan de Divreim Kashle Eidus Isha. Gazlan de Divrei Torah Pasle Eidus Isha. There's still a threshold, according to Rav Menashe, meaning, it's true that a woman is going to do an investigation, but, and it's true that Chachamim relaxed the rules of what is considered quote-unquote testimony, but there's still a threshold, meaning if somebody is a Gazlan de Araisa, he's a thief, a known, not suspected, he's a known thief, and it's not even a questionable act of theft. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in the third paragraph goes over a number of circumstances where that's not appropriate financial behavior, but that you're not a Gazlan d'Araisa, you're not a bona fide thief. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that that person can't testify in a court of law. Even if it's not bona fide theft, even if it's just even if it's only Gazlan d'Rabbanan, he can't testify. For Eidus Isha, for to allow a woman to remarry, so we reduce the threshold of we're more allowing in terms of what is considered permissible testimony. First of all, you don't need one to work. That one doesn't even have to be a man. That one could be a woman. That person can even have a couple of stains on his record. He can even be a Gazlan d'Rabbanan. The only thing that person cannot be is a Gazlan d'Araisa. In other words, at that juncture, so you cross the line, meaning that person simply cannot be the sole testifier that her husband died. That's the statement of Rav Menashe. So the Gemara now is saying that's how you understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, where the person saying, I killed your husband, so even for Eidus Isha, Rav Menashe says we cross the line. He's the only one who's now stepping forward and saying their husband died. And look at what he's saying. I killed your husband. Like Rav Menashe says, that's too much. Even though the real halacha is based on Isha Daiko Mitzvah, but that's just still, it's too much. It's too much of an allowance in terms of allowing her to get remarried. So the Gemara says, so Isha Gazlan did divrei Torah, Pasul Eidus Isha, name Rav Menashe Damak Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, and now what? And now you're telling me that Rav Menashe is holding like Rav Yehuda? Meaning, and Rav Menashe's position is only aligning itself to the position of Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah says that when a person says, I killed your husband, so lo si naseh yin ala kamar her. And again, we'll get to later on what's the difference between saying I killed versus we killed. We'll get to that in a moment. So the Gemara says, name of Rav Menashe, damaka Rav Yehuda, amalcha Rav Menashe, ana damar afilo Rabbanan. The Gemara says no. No, my position will fit in with Rabbi Yehuda. My position will fit in with the Chachamim. The time of the Rabbanan Hachik is the Rav. The Amar Rav Adam Karavitz Atzmo in Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. So the Gemara says no. The Chachamim, Rav Menashe says, I'm also good with the Chachamim as well. In the following, we know it's true in American law, but it's not the same. We know that a person cannot incriminate himself in halacha. You are your closest relative. Meaning, before we talk about your brothers and your mother and your father and your kids, your first karov is yourself. So obviously, you have no objectivity when it comes to yourself. And another mesim asma rasha, and you cannot incriminate yourself. And by the way, the basic difference between what we have in American law and halacha is in American law you don't have to incriminate yourself, but if you want to, you can. In halacha, even if you try to incriminate yourself, Basin will just simply strike it from the record. Meaning you, whatever you say about yourself, we're just simply going to ignore. Because ain't other Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person cannot testify even about himself that he's a Rasha. And therefore, when a person says, Haragtiv, I killed your husband, so he's a Rasha, right? No, he's not. Because who's saying that he's a murderer? He's saying he's a murderer. At which point we say, okay, that's right. It's unfortunate you say these things about you, but we simply ignore the testimony you say about yourself. So now the Gemara is bothered. So Lema Rav Yosef, Damaka Rav Yehuda. So now what? So now we have, is it Rav Yosef who subscribes to the viewpoint of Rav Yehuda? Amalcha Rav Yosef, Ana Damar, Filo Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, I hold like the Chachamim Vishani Eid Asisha, Dakila Bei Rabbanan. So no. In other words, you can even say I hold like the Chachamim. And again, the backbone of the halacha is really predicated on the fact that it's not the man's testimony that's allowing her to remarry. She's going to do a proper investigation herself. And then and only then will she get remarried. Rav Menashe, Damak Rav Yehuda. And from Rav Yosef's vantage point, it's Rav Menashe who says, who's going to go like Rav Yehuda. Okay, so let's quickly wrap this up, and we'll continue tomorrow. So again, Mishnah tells us that we finish up the discussion of a woman alleged to have man's relations with her paramour. The Mishnah says a Beis Din will step in and enforce a divorce. Is that talking about with or without witnesses who actually testified to her act of adultery? Machlokis between Rebbe and Rav, and the Gemara concludes the halacha somewhere in the middle. Depends on the severity of the rumors and allegations in terms of Beis Din stepping in and forcing a divorce between her and her paramour. Then we described the next Mishnah, which talked about whether or not the woman can marry people who aided and abetted her divorce. So the Mishnah basically says that she can get remarried, but not necessarily to the man who is abetting, who is allowing her to remarry. Okay, we talked about the man delivering the get from outside of Eretz Yisrael. We talked about a man who's coming to testify that your husband's dead, or I killed your husband, or we killed your husband. And Rav Yehuda's position, we've yet to fully clarify what's the difference. We'll start with that tomorrow. Okay, I've come.